Previously on Dating.
Do you have a list of things you wouldn't do? You don't have to share now.
I do.
Okay, maybe one. Just tell me one that you would not do.
I don't do like dressing up in like weird things, like whips and chains and all that bullshit. I don't get involved with that. What do they call it? Dominatrix? I don't do that.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Like leather, like pain for me. Pain is not pleasure to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes. Kind of. Don't share your opinion too much about this.
This is Dating, a series of recorded first dates. If you love This Is Dating, but you don't love listening to the ads, we're collaborating with Apple Podcasts to offer an ad-free version of the show. For a small subscription fee, you not only get episodes ad-free, but you'll also get early access to any new episodes. Go to Apple Podcasts, search for This Is Dating, and select the ad-free and early access subscription option. And thanks! This Is Dating. I'm Huete. And when we last met Virginia, who is this incredible human rights attorney in her early 30s living in Washington, D.C., she was really trying to work through the heartbreak from her last relationship.
That person wasn't an open marriage. Then they got divorced a few months after we started dating. And he didn't want a relationship right after his divorce. So that was tough because I really wanted to be with him.
So what's a better way to get over a breakup than to date someone really hot? So we set her up with a male model named Nick.
My appearance is the first thing people usually notice. I'm really into fashion. If I told you how many tuxedos I own, it would probably be kind of scary.
Just tell me that number.
9.
That is a lot. Now I'm judging you based on that.
And it seemed like a good date, but we wanted to do better. So for this one, I'm calling upon my co-producer Eleanor to figure this out with me.
Huete, you know, I really actually appreciate someone who has their own personal style and way of presenting themselves to the world. And it does not have to be in a tux or a gown. But personally, I would be lying if I said I didn't notice how somebody dresses on a first date.
I mean, okay, Eleanor, I hear you. But like, what if someone actually showed up on your date in a tux?
Well, I guess it would just be like that time in Moonstruck when Nicolas Cage takes Cher to the opera.
Hi.
So that's fine.
Hi.
You look beautiful. Your hair.
Yeah, I had it done. You look beautiful too.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's set Cher aside and bring it back to Virginia.
You know, coming out from a relationship where you love someone so much, you want to feel something similar.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But now, like, you know, that I've had these conversations with you and my ex is not in my head, it's more like, oh, I can give it a try with someone else more than one time because first dates are awkward.
What's interesting here is that Virginia's been dating a lot. She just isn't into any of the guys that she goes out with. That's why she's working with Logan Urie, our dating coach, who also happens to be a behavioral scientist.
When you're coming out of a relationship, you're comparing that relationship with all of its depth and excitement and intimacy to a first date, which is essentially a conversation with a stranger.
I mean, I think our jobs generally on the show are to make those first conversations between strangers less awkward, but that is not really Virginia's issue here.
I feel like her bigger issue is trying to figure out what it would really take to feel a spark with someone.
And the good news is she seems to really know what she likes. She wants to date somebody who lives in her area around DC, who is currently single, not somebody in an open relationship, and somebody who's actually seeking something monogamous and long-term, and maybe it'll result in children someday.
Yeah, and bonus if he's a redhead.
And we need to find that person who is all of those things and emotionally available. But then we did. We found this guy, Andrew.
Who is exactly what we're looking for.
And so before the date really gets started, we put him in a room with Logan for a little pre-date coaching.
If I were to ask your friends, why is Andrew single? What do you think they would say?
That he's too picky and he typically goes after the same kind of people.
Mm. Do you feel like the pandemic has changed your priorities or what you're looking for at all?
So, yeah, actually, somebody that I was dating that I met in eHarmony, she was great, but she was 100% no kids. And at first I was 50-50. Probably the last 5-6 years I've been 50-50 on it. Mm-hmm. And then my grandmother passed away from COVID, and at the funeral,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Looking around. Thanks. And I'm just seeing like the family she built and everything and realizing that I couldn't not do the same, that it was something that was important to me. So then that was what wound up ending that relationship, but it did make me learn a lot about myself, that it is something that's a deal breaker for me.
All right. Sounds like Andrew's ready to go.
Yeah. Let's get this date started.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Andrew. Doing well.
Hi, Virginia.
Virginia, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We are going to start off with a little bit of a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, so the idea here is that Virginia's going to ask Andrew to go find something in his apartment, and he only has a few seconds to look for it. So he's got to move fast.
Are you ready for this? Are you wearing pants? Because it can be awkward if you're not.
I thought somebody would ask, so yes, I am wearing jeans.
Okay, you're a smart man, smart man.
All right.
Okay. Okay, show me the coolest thing you own that isn't expensive.
Coolest thing I own that isn't expensive.
Oh, time. I'm really bad at this game. Okay, 20 seconds.
All right, we're going on a trip here.
Okay.
So this is the basement.
Don't fall.
And I got this 2 weeks ago, this poster, because I went to a...
The fighter?
It's a boxer, Canelo Alvarez.
Time's up. Yeah, Canelo.
Yeah. But it wasn't that expensive, but it was really cool because I took my brother to that fight a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was just an awesome time. He had just moved to Dallas and gotten a job at my company that I referred him to. And I got this referral bonus. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this bonus?
That's nice.
I just spent way too much money on the tickets and then bought the poster.
But wait, now both of you work for the same company?
Yeah, now he works for my company too.
Are you guys planning to take over? No? Yeah, maybe.
One day.
Okay. I hope they're not listening to this podcast because then you're going to be in trouble.
They would be lucky if we took over.
I'm not going to say. I don't know you well enough to say yes or no. But I'm sure no one wants other people to take over the company. Okay. And you also sucked on that time. You took over 20 seconds. Yeah.
That was less than 20.
I sense chemistry, but maybe I'm just getting my hopes up too early. So what did we actually learn about Andrew from the thing he picked? What I think we really learned about him in this moment is more just like who he shows up as on a date, right? He brings this like yes and mentality. He's just kind of like down for having fun and doing something kind of silly and goofy on a date with a new person. And he brings the energy and makes it fun.
Yeah, it's not awkward when people are listening in your dates.
Yeah, right? This is the first time I've had people listen in on my dates. Have you done this before?
Like a million times. This is what I do for a hobby.
I listen
to all of my dates and then they tell me how to do it better.
Wow, you're so great now. You've had all that practice.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to anything. I think it's easier what I don't listen to.
I'm the same way. So what are the items?
I don't listen to metal.
Yeah,
Or like very hard rock.
Yeah.
Let me see what else. Because there are like categories that are like, I'll listen to some of it, but not that much. And like country's there, Americana is there.
What is like, if you're in a bad mood and you just need to like get it, like pick me up and, you know, some kind of nostalgic.
Probably like some type of Latin music. I love merengue. Nice. Like a lot. And also some like Spanish pop from the 90s. Cool. It's great. And 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, so that made
like Aventura or
more like Ricky Martin. Oh, okay. Like that type of like Alex Sintek, like those type of
¿Y de dónde eres?
República Dominicana.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
¿Y tú? Aquí.
De aquí. Mi familia es italiano, pero aprendí en la escuela y yo trabajaba en México, pasé un año ahí.
¿Haciendo qué?
Como un consultor de negocios, de procesos. Okay. Trabajaba en fábricas ayudando sus eficiencias. Debemos hablar puro en español y ellos van a enojar mucho.
No creo. No creo.
I was like, we'll get so mad if we just do the rest of this in Spanish.
Okay, Andrew with the fluent Spanish.
You know, one thing that I like, I watch everything with subtitles, like everything, Spanish things, English things, but one thing about audio.
So that's what I need to do to get better. Cause like, I'm okay. I mean, I'm like almost.
I'm going to recommend a show.
Yeah.
Do you know Luis Miguel? Obviously, you know Luis Miguel, right? You know Luis Miguel. There's a show on Netflix about his life.
Oh, yeah?
It's incredible.
What's
like
it
called? The acting, Luis Miguel La Serie.
Oh, okay.
You need to watch. And they speak good Spanish, and it's like good music because it's just him.
Yeah.
And the story of his life and how he became to be what he is. But it's really good Spanish. So all of my friends that speak Spanish and they're trying to practice, I tell them, watch that with subtitles.
Yeah, like English subtitle or Spanish subtitle.
No, Spanish subtitles.
Okay. So
you have to put it in Spanish because I think Netflix in the US automatically puts it in English.
Okay.
Never say I never gave you anything.
I won't, but now I owe you. So I got to figure out what I can give you.
You can give me music.
All right. All right. How old were you when you came here?
I remember that was 5 years ago, so 26.
Okay.
I'm 32. Super wise. How old are you?
53.
You don't look a day older.
I appreciate it. I'm 34. I'll be 35 in 9 days.
Okay. Are your parents or were your parents good role models for love? Why? Why not? I'll let you go first.
So my father, absolutely not. So my parents divorced when I was one. And he's been married 2 times since and has been caught cheating with every wife. And he's like the most horrible like husband partner.
Oh, no.
Not the worst dad in the world. I don't resent him for it or anything. So very bad example of love. And my mom, she never got remarried, but she's had a boyfriend for the last 20 years. And they don't live together. They're separate houses. It's kind of crazy. But I think the love that my mom has shown my brother and I. So she was 27, single mom, 2 kids, no child support, like had just put my dad through medical school and he left and wasn't paying anything. And like, she's definitely my hero and she's always shown us like all the love in the world that we need. So her
I hope she listens to this. I hope you'd send her a text today telling her how much you love her and admire her. If you haven't.
I actually haven't talked to her yet today. I usually talk to her almost every day.
He's just so stable.
Affable is the word that comes to mind for me.
Or like available?
Yeah. And like, this is exactly the type of guy that Logan's been trying to get Virginia to be open to.
Are my parents good models for love? I guess, how do you say, like romantic relationship? No. And they got divorced after 25 years of marriage.
Oh, wow.
So no, I don't think so. But they are, you know, like very supportive of us. My dad to this day, like he calls me. He's like, did I tell you today that I love you? I'm like, no, you haven't. Please tell me.
That's nice.
With my mom, it's a different type of love. We're more like, hey, how are you? Oh, you're okay? Okay.
Yeah. Are they both in the DR still?
No. So my mom is back home. My dad is in New York.
Okay.
I see him every now and then. We're very close. We talk every day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have siblings? One brother, you said.
Actually, right? I have three. So I have one full brother that I grew up with, and then I have two half brothers. So, which one of my half brothers, he's 22, just graduated college, and he got an internship in DC, but he needed a place to stay. So I said, you can move in with me. So he's moving in on Saturday.
So you have more people moving in.
But he doesn't drink. He's like super uber Catholic religious. So, which
are you Catholic?
I am Catholic, but I'm not like, he's been an altar boy since he was seven. So
what does it mean for you to be Catholic? I want to know, like, you say you're Catholic. What does that mean?
So I was baptized and did confirmation, but now, do I go to church every Sunday? No. Do I, you know.
But what does it, but why do you say, for example, I did those things and I don't consider myself a Catholic. So
I still have faith. I mean, not that I agree with all of the politics and craziness that they, you know, sometimes political sides or different things, but no, I still have faith. So that's why I consider myself Catholic. I have faith in the foundations of it.
Of the church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. I think I'm agnostic. No, I don't think. I know I'm agnostic. Like, I believe in something, but I don't know. I guess I'm just curious when people tell me like I'm this religion, and I'm not judging you or anything.
Yeah.
Do you do good to others?
For sure.
My parents always used to say, it's, and I try to live my life that way. They're like, it's not enough to not do harm to others. You have to actively do good to them. I'm like, that's a good way to live.
This is why I got my brother moving in. It's going to be a little weird. We're totally
he's your charity work.
So he is like the ultimate like Trumper, Catholic, wants to be president of the United States. Couldn't be more opposite than me. And he needed a place to stay. So I said, no problem.
That's very Christian of you, because I'll be like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hiwate, I can't totally tell where she's landing with this response. By her saying, that's very Christian of you, is she like being kind of snide, or is she genuinely impressed at how Andrew is, you know, opening his home to his brother?
Honestly, with Virginia, you really never know, but I think it's both. Like, it's hard to imagine a world where she's not kind of impressed by him taking his brother in.
If you like This Is Dating, you should check out In Case You Missed It, Slate's podcast about internet culture. It's a show for people who have a healthy relationship with the internet, made by people who really don't. It's hosted by Slate's Madison Malone Kircher and Rachel Hampton. Twice a week, they'll explore what's trending at the top of your feeds, investigate the ghosts of the internet past, and help you sound like the smartest person in your group chat. Episodes drop every Wednesday and Saturday. Just search for ICYMI wherever you get your podcasts. That's ICYMI, the podcast that's extremely online, so you don't have to be.
What's something you learned from your last relationship that you want to apply to your next relationship? Something I learned from my past, I think that if I don't trust someone, if something happens and I stop trusting the person I'm with, it's extremely hard for me to go back from there. I think I have trust issues. Sometimes I'm not flexible, right? Like I have, I guess, some issues being like, oh yeah, things happen. Or like, I understand why you're thinking that way or you're acting that way. Mm-hmm. And I think like going into a next relationship, I think I have to be more open to have conversations about the things that matter to me or the things that are going to hurt me. I'd rather prevent a situation because it's very hard for me to work on trust issues.
Yeah. Were you in a bad relationship years ago that made you break up?
I wouldn't call it a bad relationship. My last like serious relationship that like, I met your entire family, you met my entire family, was maybe 10 years ago. I did go out with someone for a few years, not too long ago, but it was like a weird situation. And there were a lot of me like, oh, I'm going to accept this, whatever you want, because I want to be with you and I think I can deal with this, and not expressing my feelings. So I feel like I have to be better at expressing what I want and what I'm feeling before things go south without sounding nagging.
Yeah. No, I've had very similar things happen where it builds up over time and you're like, well, I'm not going to bring it up. It's something really small. And then, but in my head, it winds up building up to,
yeah,
she's thinking everything's fine. And then it had already built up to me. And now I'm just kind of done. And I have that conversation and they're blindsided. I mean, that's a couple of years ago, but definitely had a lot of that lesson.
Yeah. Talking is hard, right? Having important conversations.
It makes you vulnerable, right? You have to open up and you have to talk about feelings and those kind of things.
Boo.
Right? Boo to that.
It would be much better life without feelings.
Agreed.
I wonder how exciting life would be without feelings, or like without ever having your heart broken, or without ever feeling love, just going through life, the motions.
What would there be to live for? It sounds boring.
You know, they're joking here, but really, learning to communicate your feelings is such a real thing and not something many of us know how to do until we're in a relationship that's not working.
It sounds like they were starting to go kind of deep here and then pulled it back. And so maybe that is like the sign of a little bit of avoidance. But the sort of deep digging that they were doing and the feelings sharing that was happening is like the opposite of coming to a relationship with your baggage. You know, you're still coming with the baggage, but you know how to unpack it.
Right. And it's almost like they're unpacking it early and letting the other person decide if it's something they want to work with or not.
Right. And that feels like the mark of two pretty experienced daters to me.
And I want to hear how they describe what they want in a future partner to each other. Why don't we ask them this?
What do we got here? When you imagine your life in 10 years, who are you with and what are you feeling? Ladies first.
I don't go that far. I don't think I think about, I don't
10
know.
10 years.
So 10 years.
42.
42.
¿Dónde estarás?
I want children, with or without a partner, to be honest. So I'll probably have children by then. Maybe one. Maybe two. One a favorite. And what are you feeling? I don't know. Hopefully I would have a partner too, right? And I guess I would be, I don't know, happy, but I think I'm happy now. So that would be like an extension of what it's now. I don't know. You 10 years?
I'm pretty similar. You know, I would definitely want to have 1 to 2 kids and, you know, be in love, feeling love with whoever I'm with. I mean, if it doesn't happen, like back to the independence thing, it's not the end of the world, but it's definitely something that I'm hoping is there in 10 years. And then also in my career, I hope to be at a certain point where I'm comfortable with the level that I've achieved and, you know, what I've done up to that point.
Would you have children without a partner?
I don't know. It's tough as a guy, you know, do you do the surrogate thing? Do you adopt? I mean, obviously there's a ton of, you know, children out there needing families and things, but I think if it got to a point, I probably would. I mean, before I majored in hospitality and then got into consulting, I wanted to be a teacher, a high school teacher. Oh. So like, I just, you know, enjoy being, you know, in the part of the development of people and, you know, feel like I've got a lot of things to share. So maybe, I don't know. Honestly, I've never thought about it or been asked that question.
Food for thought.
Right.
I asked you because I asked a male friend and he was like, oh, no one has ever asked me that either. Cause he wants children, but he doesn't have a partner. And he's like 40. And I'm like, well, women get these type of questions all of the time. Maybe it's time we turn the tables around.
Right. But you can carry your own. But I guess I could have a surrogate.
I would adopt. I wouldn't want to have a biological child by myself. Unless it's a mistake. I'm like, oopsie.
It happened.
But
I mean, if I could adopt kids after like the diaper ages, I think that's a win-win on both sides.
But you're already there. You're 53. When are you going to be ready to settle down?
This is true.
Now it's time for our last question.
Oh, man.
You see, now when you play the drums.
Right? Drum roll.
Is there something you wanted to ask me that you haven't yet? I don't want to ask you anything.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been through a lot here. I mean, what are you doing this weekend?
I actually have to work. After this date, I'm gonna work.
Oh man.
I got stuck with like some cases and they're not good. And to be honest, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
So I have to finish to file. And then that's it. Do you have any, you're going to your parties.
So that's Saturday. Yeah. With my brother moving in and all that. And, I have Sunday open though.
Okay.
But maybe if
I don't work too much,
if you don't work, we can do something.
Yeah. This was fun. I'm glad, that it went well. Sometimes I'm always concerned, like, is this going to be awkward?
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this for so many years, you said, so, and you do this all the time, so.
Yeah, but I'm not good at it. It's just, I haven't perfected it.
Well, that's a lie. You were great.
Thank you. You were okay. You were okay.
I've been told that a lot. Thanks.
Virginia's answer to Andrew when he asked her out kind of blindsided me. You know, first it was, I don't want to ask you anything. And now it's like, oh, maybe I'm free. Who knows?
Yeah.
That honestly is a surprise to me.
Yeah. And it's disappointing because he was the exact kind of person that she asked for. So honestly, I'm a little confused, but maybe it's the chemistry thing again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really curious what's going on inside Virginia's head and if she can explain it to Logan, and then maybe Logan can, you know, help decode it a little bit. How was it?
That went better than I thought because of my attitude.
Tell me about it.
It was funny in conversation flow. I definitely do like, I'm attracted to people that speak Spanish just because it's my language. It's how I express things. I thought it was very nice of him to take in his brother that is completely different than him. And I'm very close to my family. But even I draw the line sometimes. So I guess that I think of him as a good person. If I were my old self, I would be like, I don't want to see him. I don't need to see him again. But I would give it another try and try to see him for drinks in person and see what's up.
That feels like growth. What do you mean your old self versus your new self?
You know, like I'm always like, oh, if I don't feel like that instant great connection, I'm like, I'm not doing this again. Like I was thinking about like some other dates that I've been on, even with guys that I end up liking a lot. And I stopped thinking, like I started thinking for a little while that most of them I actually did not like from the very start. So I'm not sure where is it that I got into, if I don't feel this big thing, I'm not going out with you again. I think, you know, coming out from a relationship where you love someone so much, you want to feel something similar.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, you know, that I've had these conversations with you, my ex is not in my head. It's more like, oh, I can give it a try with someone else more than one time because first dates are awkward.
I love to hear that. Yeah. And I think that's a really, really great insight for you. I'll just say it back to you, which is like when you're coming out of a relationship, you're comparing that relationship with all of its depth and excitement and intimacy to a first date. And I felt like you did a really good job on the date, being present, being interested, asking cool questions, being a good listener. Like I think you get an A+ for your homework assignment.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have a goal, which is to find a partner and to have kids. You're willing to have kids with or without a partner, but ideally you get both. And so you're realizing that to achieve the goal of finding a partner, you need to put yourself out there. You need to be open. You need to say yes to second dates, even if the first date isn't 10 out of 10 sparks flying. And so you're really negotiating with yourself to say, how can I show up for myself to achieve this goal, even if it's a little bit out of my comfort zone?
Yeah. Like, for example, I'm not a flexible person. Like, if in real life I were to go on a date and someone tells me my brother is super close-minded. He's a Trump supporter. He's super Catholic. These are things that I don't want associated with me, right? Mm-hmm. So these are things that if I were to have a family, I wouldn't want my kids to be around someone like this. So my first instinct on things like that is like, oh, I don't care that I like you. I don't want to go out with you because this is your family. So I think I'm moving a little bit from that. But I think I have to be more open to have conversations.
Yeah, one exercise that I really like is just on a piece of paper, folding it in half and writing red flags on the left and green flags on the right. And red flags are usually really easy to fill out. Things like, you know, was disrespectful to me, made me uncomfortable. I think for you, someone where you're not, you don't feel curious about them, you're not interested. But then it'd also be good for you to focus on what are the green flags? Like, what are the moments where you're like, yes, this is in line with what I'm looking for? And so I imagine like he was looking for kids. That was probably a green flag. The generosity with his brother. It seemed like you liked his bar. Like it seemed like he was fun. And so I think your brain is very attuned to the things you don't like, which is a natural thing called the negativity bias. It's very easy for us to pay attention to what we don't want. But I would encourage you to really focus on what are the things you do want and then pay attention to, does this guy have those green flags?
Yeah, I definitely should do that more because if I think on the positive, I'll probably attract positives rather than think about what I don't want, that I'm going to attract what I don't want.
So, you know, are you going to text him? What's going to happen next?
I would like him to text me for a change. Like, I'll text him if I don't hear from him by tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll text him.
Great.
You know, I'm hearing that Logan is like, you know, if you feel like you're not sure about somebody, sit in that. You know, the red flags, green flags. Mm-hmm. Figure out what you do and what you don't like about them and like actually break it down. Like turn to the data, only here the data is like her own feelings.
I think that Virginia is not in a place where she actually trusts the data or can like create a space internally where the data she's getting can be filtered correctly. So it's almost like she can't trust the data, which explains why she can't feel chemistry with these people on a first date. And I'm not saying like all of these guys she should have felt chemistry with, but I just think there's a defense up that's not allowing her to trust the data or even to look for good data.
I definitely feel like this is not the end of the road yet.
You go by Virginia, yes?
Yes.
Do you know who I am? Who you speaking with? I do.
I did my research.
Good, good.
Next time on Dating.
When I hear you talk, what I'm hearing you talk about is fear.
If you'd like to be set up by us on a future date, go to thisisdatingpodcast.com. This is Dating is produced by Jesse Baker and Eric Newsom at Magnificent Noise. Our production staff includes Huete Katana, Eleanor Kagan, and Taylor Hansen. We also received help from Esther Perel, Courtney Hamilton, Eva Wolchover, Julia Natt, Julia Silbergeld, Ilana Dunn, Kimberly Bodwin, Hayden Dawes, and Lulu Krause. Original music, production, and sound design by Paul Schneider. Logan Urie is our consulting producer, and the executive producer of This Is Dating is Jesse Baker.